My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Well, it's Big 12 basketball tournament week, and we have got you covered with the preview, the breakdown, and the predictions. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is, of course, where you find us covering the Big 12, and we appreciate you being here. Make sure you hit that like button on the video, subscribe, and if you're on the podcast, always appreciate that 5-star rating and review. Happy to welcome in and say hello to a guy you've been reading all season long. Never a better time to get him into the mix here. Matthew Poston's our lead Big 12 basketball writer. He will be in Kansas City this week. So if you see him, be sure to heckle him and tell him that he hates your team because, well, I'm sure he does. In all seriousness, no one does a better job. Matthew, are you ready for another trek up to Kansas City from your hometown of Dallas?
Yes, absolutely. It's the best time of the year. It's the best tournament of the year, I think, just in terms of the setup, where it's located, the teams that come to town, the fan bases. I've been to several different tournaments around the country in my time covering college basketball, and I'm not sure there's a better experience out there if you're just a pure college basketball fan, whether you're a Big 12 partisan or not. I don't think there's a better experience than Kansas City.
Well, listen, I'm here, so I'm very biased towards that. But listen, there's still this idea out there that the Big 12 needs to move this thing around. And I think we both know what happened 2 years ago. Brett Yormark saw how this city operates with this tournament. And I don't think he was sold on Kansas City, but he saw it 2 years ago. And he said, you know what? This is the real deal. This city loves this tournament. They embrace it like no other city will. And they sign a long-term deal. So yeah. I know there's still like, I think it's a smaller and smaller every year portion of Big 12 fans who are like, this is so dumb. Why are we in Kansas City? But until you've been here, the league clearly sees the value in it, right?
Yeah. As Brett Yormark would say, they doubled down for all the right reasons. That is a trademark Brett Yormark phrase. But yeah, I mean, the thing I said last year to the Houston, UCF, BYU, and Cincinnati folks is the same thing I'll say to the Arizona State and Utah folks this year. Colorado kind of has some experience with this, having formerly been in the Big 12. Come to the tournament once, experience it once, come to all 5 days, come to every game. And if you're not sold, I'm not sure what else there is that I can do for you. I mean, the great thing about this tournament is that it's about the tournament. It's not about anything else. It's about basketball. I know that some folks want to have it out in Las Vegas. Look, Las Vegas is great. Every time I go, I enjoy it. But there's 200 million things to do every single night, whether it's January 1st or December 31st. Right now, there are at least two tournaments going on right now in Las Vegas, and there are at least two more that'll go on this week. And they're not the biggest show in town. They're not the only show in town. They're one of 300 different things going on in town that night. In Kansas City, and this is what sold Yormark, you're the only show in town. Everybody's paying attention to you for a week, week and a half, however long the tournament is there. You've got everybody's attention. Kansas City has a great history when it comes to college basketball. It has hosted Final Fours. It has hosted regionals on a regular basis. There's no better place to do it. I mean, I've been to the tournament in Dallas when it was down here 20 years ago. I can tell you it did not have the same kind of buzz in the city. It did not have the same kind of attendance, even with Texas and Texas Tech and Baylor.
They don't care about basketball.
It just did not have the same buzz that it has up in Kansas City.
I totally agree. Let's get to the bracket here. And before I get to the bracket and the tournament this week, I just got to say, what is it about the Big 12? It's the same thing when they put out the football schedule. They put out this chart that is unreadable. And the same thing with the bracket. It's like this black and white, the backdrop. I can't read the darn thing. I'm looking at it on my screen here. So anyway, okay. I've got it on my phone with actual logos. And I had a couple of quick takeaways here. I know everyone's down on Kansas, and I'm not sitting here telling you to pick Kansas, but Kansas does have, for a six seed, a pretty darn favorable path to a Big 12 championship. They get the winner of UCF, Utah. Then if they win that, they're playing Arizona, who they just beat on Saturday. If they win that, they play some combination of Tech, Baylor, Arizona State, Kansas State. I mean, to get to a championship. For a team that had its worst season in, what, a couple decades? That's a pretty darn good path for KU to avoid the BYU-Houston side of this bracket and potentially find themselves as a surprise team this week in Kansas City. What's your take on where KU's at right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't underestimate UCF. For whatever reason, UCF gives them trouble. I mean, every time Kansas has played UCF, they've been kind of pesky with them. But the path is favorable to them. I think the trick is, you know, Kansas always comes to this tournament as a team that's playing as a one or a two, sometimes a three seed. And they've got a, you know, they get the first day of the tournament off. They're going to have to play, for the first time that I can think of, they'll have to play four games to win the tournament. And I'm not sure how much winning four games improves their seeding in the NCAA tournament. But I do think you're right. You know, Utah, UCF, that's a game that can win. If it ends up being, Arizona, I wouldn't underestimate Arizona on a neutral court against Kansas. I've got Arizona actually beating Kansas on a neutral court in the quarterfinals. But there are opportunities for them to, if they can get their full offensive package working, there's an opportunity for them, I think, to actually make, you know, some noise in this tournament, maybe get to the semifinals. But I think their problem all season is the problem they'll encounter in Kansas City, which is they've just been offensively inconsistent all year. If Hunter Dickinson has a big game, they're probably going to win. But if he doesn't, they need two or three other guys to step up, and they're not getting that enough consistently all season.
Yeah, I mean, looking at these, listen, the first round is going to be the first round, right? There's not going to be a lot of juice with a lot of these games on Tuesday. You got Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, Colorado, TCU, K-State, Arizona State, Utah, UCF. We thought Cincinnati last week might be on the bubble. They lose to Oklahoma State Saturday. They're done. Is there any of these teams that you think can make some kind of run? I mean, I would lean to K-State because they played some of the best basketball in the country 6 weeks ago, but yeah. I just don't see it.
You know, it's funny about that first session is you have rematches of games that were played on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I find interesting. I think if there's one team among those eight that could go two or three rounds from there, I actually think it's Cincinnati because they're a very streaky team. They've got good shooters. They've got good rebounders. They've got size inside. Their problem is like Kansas's problem all season. They've been extremely inconsistent, especially on the defensive end. But they're a very streaky team. When they get going, they can win two or three games in a row and really make things difficult for the teams in this bracket. And I don't mind where they're at in the bracket coming in because I don't think they get Houston or BYU till the third day. So
yeah, they would get BYU the third day if they upset Iowa State on day two.
Yeah.
But that's that's a really tough draw. Iowa State, BYU, and then likely Houston. Woof.
Yeah.
That's the toughest draw in the tournament, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but if Cincinnati gets hot, especially if Simas Lukosius gets hot from three and they can get their inside game going, they could give some teams some real trouble in this tournament. Remember, it's a 5-day self-contained tournament. Some of the rules that happened during the regular season kind of go out the window. Mm-hmm. So if they win that first game over Oklahoma State, which is what I believe Cincinnati will do, I think the second game becomes really interesting.
So you look at these teams on day two who have the single buys, not the double buys. That's Iowa State, West Virginia, Baylor, and Kansas. there's a reason to be down on each of these teams. There's also a reason to look at each of these teams and say, well, what if things break just right? I mean, they're all in the tournament, right? So the question is more, how much is the seeding worth? Who do you think has the most to gain of those four teams that have the single buys today too?
Well, I think West Virginia certainly has the most to gain, them being a number eight seed. I think they're right now they're a 10 seed in bracketology. I think a couple of wins here could get them to an 8-9 game as opposed to a 7-10 game. Now, you got to think about it from a strategic perspective in the NCAA tournament. Would you rather be in an 8-9 game and play a 1 seed, or would you rather be in a 7-10 game and play a 2 seed?
Give me a 10. Give me a 10.
You might just want to be a 10 in that situation. So, when I'm looking at Iowa State, you know, let's just say that they go from here and win the tournament, which I think they're capable of doing. That takes them, right now I think there are 4 or 5 in bracketology. Maybe that puts them in a 3 and gets them a little bit closer to home when it comes to that sub-regional. So I think those two teams probably have the most to gain. I don't think Baylor's going to get much of a bump. I don't think Kansas is going to get much of a bump, gaining a couple of wins here. And I just don't think Baylor's going to get very far in the tournament because they're so shorthanded.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Totally. Baylor's just too banged up for me, so I don't see much of a runway for them in March. Now, when you look to Thursday, you look to those double buys, BYU, Houston, Tech, Arizona. Is there one team of those four that stands out with a lot of upside and or a lot of downside? I mean, the obvious answer to me is Houston, at least having to win a game to get that one seed. Mm-hmm. I would argue they should have it locked up no matter what. But listen, the committees get weird, and this time of year gets a little strange. If they lose Thursday, if they get upset, could they bump down to a 2? Maybe. So I would go with Houston there, but is there something else that stands out to you about those double bye teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a possibility that BYU could lose on Thursday in the quarterfinals. And it's because this team has won 12 of their last 14 games. They've been on a heater the last 6-7 weeks that no other team outside of Houston has been on, frankly, just in terms of their ability on the offensive end of the floor. And, they've had now Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They'll have had 4 days to think about it. And because they are kind of a streaky team shooting the basketball, they could get into a game with, say, an Iowa State, which would be a rematch of, I think, last midweek game. And, Iowa State in this kind of environment, Hilton South, their kind of game, it wasn't like it was a blowout in Ames last week. It was a double overtime game that Iowa State easily could have won. So that to me is kind of the game that could potentially upend that part of the bracket. Now, if Iowa State loses that game on in the second round, then BYU probably wins and moves on. But that's the game that I have my eye on, and it's the first game I get to cover in person. And you know, it's just when you have a streaky team and they get a few days off and you take them to a neutral site, sometimes things just kind of go haywire.
Hey, that is an amazing first game on Thursday in the quarterfinals if we get Iowa State BYU. I mean, that's a great game. And it's an early game. It's what, 11:30. So win or lose, Iowa State fans are going to be just ripping down beers at Power and Light after that one, no matter what the outcome is. So businesses in Kansas City win no matter what. You know how that goes.
And you know who the businesses in Kansas City want to win that game too.
Well, that's true. They want Iowa State to keep winning and keep drinking. That's just how it is. No offense to BYU. I'm just shooting it straight. I mean, you guys aren't bringing the juice on that stuff this weekend like Iowa State fans are. They call it Hilton South for a reason. And we know that, you know, KU fans might not have as much enthusiasm because of how the team has played this year, but it's still going to be a heavy KU flavor and a very heavy Iowa State flavor. I will say, listen, BYU's playing great basketball. I could see BYU fans showing up in a big way in Kansas City this weekend. If they get to Friday, I could see a lot of last minute trips from Salt Lake to Kansas City. How about you?
Yeah, I think so, because that most likely gets you a semifinal game with Houston. It's a 6 o'clock game local, more than enough time to get into town. I think BYU would love to get another shot at Houston because of the way they're playing right now. And just, you know, Houston's the team with the target on their back. Everybody wants to beat this team before they get into the tournament, because this is your last shot. This is your last chance to do what only Texas Tech has done to this point, which is beat Houston, whether home, road, neutral floor. That's the team everybody wants to beat in this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you look at some of these other teams, Texas Tech and Arizona on the bottom half of that bracket, they could end up meeting in a semifinal, but a lot has to happen. That side, that lower side of the bracket, to me is more unpredictable at this point, depending on how it plays out. But what would you say when you look at Arizona, the tough loss at KU, Texas Tech, how are you feeling about each of those two teams right now as we get set for the tournament?
I really like Texas Tech's trajectory, just because to me, they shape up like a team that can get to, you know, not just the championship game of this tournament, but can get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament at minimum, because you've got JT Toppin, who really brings everything together, what they do inside. He might be the best offensive interior player they've had since I've been covering the conference for the last 8 years. They've got shooters outside at the level of a BYU, at the level of a Houston, in terms of guys that can hit the three 40, 42% of the time. They've got a great point guard. They've got solid depth. They're a great defensive team. There's a reason why they beat Houston on Houston's floor. It's not because it was a fluke. It was because they're a damn good basketball team. And, you know, they're built for this kind of environment. They're built for the NCAA tournament. Arizona, to me, the question I have about them is whether they can be consistently great defensively for 40 minutes. They've shown me they can do that in stretches this year, but they have these little pockets where they lose that defensive intensity for 10 minutes in a game, and it costs them. You know, kind of cost them against BYU. It's cost them in a couple of games they've lost in Big 12 play. So while they're undeniably great on the offensive side of the floor, that inconsistency on defense is what hurts them in this kind of a tournament, because these games, if you think the regular season games are rock fights, the Big 12 tournament games just become, you know, boulder fights.
And I'm thinking about this Texas Tech team in particular, because I feel like when I'm high on Tech going into this tournament, they just seem to disappoint. And I was looking at it and I was like, okay, they made the championship in 22. They lost to Kansas, the Big 12 tournament championship in 22.
Yeah.
But they haven't been in a Big 12 tournament final before that, going back to 2005. So this team does not have a good Big 12 tournament record. They're 15-24 all time in this tournament. Is there a reason? And I feel like I don't get a lot of that Tech support when I'm here in Kansas City. I just don't see it. Is there a reason for that? Or what would you attribute that to, if anything?
Yeah, I think the record I would attribute to the fact that, you know, Tech has been a good team or a good program, but not a great program, except for maybe the past 7-8 years. I know people look back on the Bobby Knight era and it was good basketball. But I would argue that the last, you know, 7-8 years, aside from the hiccup year in Adams's second season, you know, that they've played some of the best basketball that that program has ever played. I mean, you know, before this, the high watermark was the James Dickey team back in the mid-90s, which got to the Sweet 16. I think that was the team with Darvin Ham on it, if I recall correctly. That was kind of their high watermark. You know, now you've got, you know, they went to the Final Four in the national championship game in 2019. They have a team that's capable of getting to the Final Four this year. I think it's more about just this self-contained period of excellence for them more than it is about going back to 2005, where, you know, frankly, Tech was an up and down team, depending upon how much talent they had and what was going on in the rest of the conference. As for the fan base, you know, I see them there. They're loud. I think their fan base gets a little bit bigger in terms of who comes to Kansas City every year. And I think this is the kind of year where you're going to see probably the most Tech fans you've ever seen.
Well, I'm calling out the Tech fans. I want to see them at T-Mobile if they get to Friday, because you and I are going to be down at McFadden's drinking beers before the semifinals. I don't know if you know that, Matthew, but we're dragging you there. Now you know. I sent out an email today to our newsletter folks, and I said, hey, we'll be down there at T-Mobile. Beer's on me. We're going to have a good time at McFadden's right across the street from T-Mobile Center if you're going to be there Friday afternoon. So you're coming. Now you're aware of this. And if Tech's there, I want to see a lot of Tech fans, because you guys will get your beers on me. I promise you that much. So that is my offer to Tech fans. If you guys come up to KC and you make it to the semifinals, is that a deal? Are you good with that?
Just know that he only buys Coors Light.
Well, that is true. No specialty beers, no craft beer. Matthew, I'll buy the specialty beer. He will have a specialty beer as an employee, but and I'll be drinking Coors Light as well. So there's nothing wrong with it, but only Matthew gets the specialty beer. So that's a good point. I'm glad that you gave that caveat in there for people. That's a good point. So what about, give me your semifinals. Who you got in the semifinals, and then I'll give you mine.
I'm trying to remember who I picked in the semis. So, and I don't have my prediction piece in front of me. I know I had Tech and Arizona in one semifinal. I had Houston getting to the other semifinal, and
I got it here for you. Iowa State, Houston.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Iowa State, Houston, and then Arizona Tech. So that's my semifinal. I feel good about it right now.
I like where you're at. My semifinal, I'm going to go BYU and Houston. BYU's playing, like I said, we know the best basketball in the Big 12, outside of Houston, best basketball in the Big 12. Some of the best hoops in the country. No one's talking about them. And then I'm going to go Texas Tech. So I expect to see Tech fans out there on Friday. I'm going to be optimistic. And then I don't know. I got this sneaky feeling about KU making its way to the semifinals on Friday. You make a great case against KU with how they struggle with UCF. It seems like this Arizona game is more of a neutral site, even though they played them on Saturday. But I'm going to go Texas Tech, Kansas, and then I'll go BYU and Houston in the semifinals. And then give me your finals and your prediction for Saturday night in the Big 12 tournament.
I want to say that my prediction piece had Houston and Arizona, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I had Houston winning the championship. And my logic for Tech Arizona was they're one of the few teams in the tournament that'll get this far that has played each other three times this year. So they're very familiar with each other. I think it's going to be one of those games where Arizona gets untracked on offense. Arizona has a couple of big guys that can compete with Toppin inside. I don't think defensively, I think there's a big difference between Tech and Arizona. Offensively, there's not much of a difference. And I think in a neutral site environment, I think the offense will win out for Arizona. And then the championship game, Houston has unfinished business. They lost this tournament last year. They were far more banged up last year than I think we realized. We knew Juwan Roberts was banged up. We knew Arsenault was out for the year. We did not know at the time just how banged up Jamal Shedd was. We did not know just how banged up LJ Cryer was. This team is now healthy. That's the reason I picked Houston to win the championship. This team, when healthy and firing, I'm not sure there's a team in the country that can beat them. They've only lost to four teams: Auburn, Alabama, San Diego State, and Texas Tech. it's an uphill climb when you play them because they can beat you so many different ways.
I like it. And Houston's going to be a very trendy pick. And logically, I can't argue against that. But I'm going to have to just to be different. All right. Okay. So just follow me here. I am going to go with Texas Tech beating Kansas on the bottom half of that bracket. So Tech will end up in the championship game. And Tech fans are going to be swarming Kansas City looking for me. And I can't wait for it. And then on the top half of that bracket, I know this was arguably the worst game that BYU played all season long. They lost to Houston by 30 points. But hear me out on this. I think that Kelvin Sampson wants to have a good week. If he gets to Friday or Saturday, if he gets to Friday, he's probably playing with house money. BYU, it feels like to me, is probably going to have in that situation a better fan base, a better crowd in Kansas City, even though they're traveling further. They will show up. They will show out. That game will mean a lot more to BYU than it will to Houston. And in these conference tournament games, sometimes that makes a big difference. And the way they lost that Houston game, I mean, they were terrible in that game. They were never in that Houston game. Yeah. When they were on the road, what? It was like 2 months ago at this
point. No, it was January 4th. It was their third conference game. So this is a completely different BYU
team. Yes. Well, that's a totally different team. Confidence-wise, stylistic, it's a different team. So I'm going to pick BYU there in the upset over Houston, and then I'll get BYU over Texas Tech in the championship to keep this winning streak to what would be at that point 11 games going to March Madness. They probably eke up at that point to maybe a 4 seed in the tournament, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on BYU to make noise come March Madness because they haven't won a round of 64 games since 2011. It's been, yeah. I mean, it's been a long time for this program, but Kevin Young, I think, has got him on the right trajectory. So I know it's not your pick, but what do you think of BYU? And I think this team can win games more ways than just the three-pointer. That, I mean, last year was all about the three. We saw what happened in the tournament, but this is a more diverse team than last year.
Yeah, they're a better team interior-wise than they were a year ago. Traore has had a much better year. Seems to be a much more developed player. Keita, the Utah transfer, has helped him inside as well. Demon obviously is a very unique player, but he is prone to turnovers when he's, you know, significantly pressured. But they have Trevin Nell as a, you know, release valve from a point guard perspective. I think the thing that I'm concerned about is just, you know, overall defensively, they're not at a Tech, Iowa State, Houston level. And you can win games without that level of defense, but that's where you've got to be great offensively when you've got to score 80-plus points to make sure that, you know, if your defense isn't there, you can win the game. I mean, you know, they went to Arizona, and that was like a, what was that, like a 94-93 game, something like that. I mean, neither team was very good defensively that night. So the thing that concerns me about BYU in a day-to-day tournament environment is, you know, the offense isn't always going to be there. The defense always has to be there in a tournament like this. And that's why I can't get them in my head, why I can't get them to the championship game.
Understandable, man, but it's going to be a, it's going to be a great week. Hey, let me show you this real quick here in case you haven't seen the merch that we're rolling out, Matthew.
Oh, dear. What do we got here? Undefeated on in hypothetical games.
You like that? So I'm going to link to that after the show.
We have far less of that in basketball than we do in football.
What's that?
I said we have far less of that in basketball than we do in
football. Far less, yeah, but they're great at that in football. So, listen, we'll be doing this again. What do you think? Selection Sunday, we'll get back in the saddle here and take a look at what's to come for the Big 12.
Yeah, I think my flight lands about 9 a.m., so I should be all right.
It's going to be a fun time, man. It's the best time of year, and we are looking forward to keeping the conversation going with our guy, Matthew Postens, our lead Big 12 basketball writer at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Make sure you are reading him all week long. If you are just joining us or you're new to the show, make sure that you are subscribed, as always, to the channel. and to the podcast. It will be a very busy couple of weeks around the website. So make sure you check it out and join those Heartland College Sports Forums. They are free to interact and have a great time with other Big 12 fans. So, Matthew, we appreciate it. We'll see you up in Kansas City this weekend. Find him on X at M Postens, right, on X, on Twitter.
Postens Postcard.
Postens, that's right. That's right. Your forum handle is M Postens. Postens Postcard on X, Twitter, whatever we call it this week. Find him there. Follow him. You'll get all the best updates on Big 12 Hoops this week. We appreciate it, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
You bet. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Have a great day. Go Big 12. Talk to you soon.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own two feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.